15, beginning at verse 21. My message today will be slanted toward the mothers, since this is Mother's Day. Then Jesus went thence and departed, verse 21 of the 15th chapter. Then Jesus went thence and departed into the coast of Tyre and Sidon. And behold, a woman of Cana came out of the same coast and cried unto him, saying, Have mercy on me, O Lord, thy son of David. My daughter is grievously vexed with the devil. But he answered her not a word. And his disciples came and besought him, saying, Send her away, for she crieth after us. But he answered and said, I am not sent but unto the lost sheep of the house of Israel. Then came she and worshipped him, saying, Lord, help me. But he answered and said, It is not meet to take the children's bread and cast it to dogs. She said, Truth, Lord. Yet the dogs eat of the crumbs which fall from their master's table. Then Jesus answered and said unto her, O woman, great is thy faith. Be it unto thee even as thou wilt. And her daughter was made whole from that very hour. I want to talk to you this morning concerning two things that challenges hell and moves heaven. Faith is a powerful force. There were times when Jesus Christ was upon this earth, he was ministering to the people, that people would exemplify such great faith that he would stop whatever he was doing. He would stop the whole procession. They might be strolling along, but he would stop whatever they were doing, and he would call attention to this, and he'd say what great faith that person exemplified. When the centurion came to him and wanted him to go and or to speak the word and heal his servant, Jesus said to him, said, I will go. He said, oh no, it's not necessary, Lord, that you should come. I'm not even worthy that you should come into my house. I'm not deserving of this. I don't want this. All I want is you to speak the word. And Jesus Christ immediately stopped and said that that was as great a faith as he had found anywhere. Throughout the Word of God, you'll find that faith moved the heart of God. You'll find that whenever that men exercised and exemplified great faith, that God moved forward to meet and to honor that faith. And it's still the same today. Abraham, in Romans 4, 19 and 21, it records some things concerning him. It said, and being not weak in faith, he considered not his own body now dead, when he was about 100 years old, neither yet the deadness of Sarah's womb. He staggered not at the promise of God through unbelief, but was strong in faith, giving glory to God, and being fully persuaded that what he had promised, he was able also to perform. These are some powerful scriptures here that Paul left for us, pulling back from the Old Testament, says that this man was fully persuaded that what God had promised, he would do. The faith that this man had was the thing that moved the heart of God. The faith that he had that God would honor his word, that God would keep his promises, that God would not fail, he was fully persuaded, fully persuaded. This morning, mothers, I desire that before this message comes to a close and you walk out of this building after prayer, that every mother under the sound of my voice, if you're not already fully persuaded, that you will be fully persuaded that God will save your entire household. You must be convinced. You must be persuaded. You must come to that understanding. It must lay hold upon your heart and your life that nothing can cause you to doubt that God will do what he has promised to do. You must be willing as a mother to go into the pages of God's holy word and there find the scriptures and stand upon those scriptures and not be afraid to call them to attention of Almighty God. Did you know that it's the people that walk by faith who enjoy the fruits of their faith? As you walk in faith toward God, God honors that faith. The centurion who had asked the Lord to speak the word, it says that he went his way, and as thou hast believed, so be it done unto thee. And his servant was healed in the selfsame hour. We find in Matthew 9, 29 and 30, it says, then touched he their eyes, speaking of two blind men, saying, according to your faith be it unto you. And their eyes were opened, and Jesus straightly charged them, saying, see that no man know it. Your faith is the key. Your faith moves God. Your belief, your trust in God moves him. When a person is fully persuaded, God, you cannot fail. You cannot, God, you cannot. This is your word. This is your word, Lord. You cannot fail. I'm not talking about in a belligerent way. I'm not talking about trying to force God. I'm talking about simply acting upon his word, believing his word, and God will honor it. It doesn't matter who you are. There's a verse of scripture, Psalms 145 and 19. This verse of scripture I stood upon during one of the darkest hours of my life, and I want you to listen to it, and I want you to take heed unto it. It simply reads this way. He will fulfill the desires of them that fear him. He also will hear their cry and will save them. Psalms 145 and 19. I remember when I read that psalm over and over and over, and I said, God, here it is right here in your word, that if we feared you, and God, that word fear means that if I honor, if I revere thee, if I look up unto thee, if I acknowledge you as the great almighty one, if I honor you, God, and you know from my heart that I do, God, you said if I did that, that you would hear my cry and you would save me, and the tears would course down my cheeks and the tears would fall down upon my shirt as I would pray and wait before God. But I reminded God that he said, and he would hear me, and that he would save me. And I believed it. I was fully persuaded in my heart that nothing could stop me because God said it, and I was determined to receive it. Amen. Now let Brother Gorman say something to you. You're going to have to learn to enjoy the fruits of your own faith. If you don't, the enemy is going to make shipwreck of your life. Don't allow yourself to get hung to a situation where you feel you've got to have a certain person to pray with you, or you've got to be at a certain place, or you've got to do it a certain way. Don't get into a situation to where you feel you've got to get through to me, or to Brother Brown, or to your husband, or to your wife, or to anyone else. You must come to the place you enjoy the fruits of your own faith. Hallelujah. As you are fully persuaded in your heart, as you are determined in your own soul, and you begin to move forth in faith toward God, God will honor your faith. And as you see the fruits of your faith before you, it increases your faith more and more and builds you up in the innermost being, that you will be a stronger Christian, and you'll be able to conquer, and you'll be able to go forth in his name to see greater things accomplished as you begin to enjoy the fruits of your own faith. The individual that's never learned to enjoy the fruits of their own faith, they've never entered into combat with Satan and their wrestle with Satan until victory came. And a person that's never done that, they'll never enjoy the fullest, richest, overcoming life that God has in store for you. You have to learn. You have to come to the grips with this. You have to come to a place that in your own Christian life, you lay hold to the promises of God and say, God, here it is. And I believe that you won't fail. I believe, God, that you'll do it. I believe, God, that you'll honor it, and you stand upon the promises of Almighty God. You see, that moves God when we start acting upon what he said. Amen. When we start believing what he says. Did you hear me? I said, when we start believing what he says, that pleases God. No wonder the writer of Hebrews said, he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is the rewarder of those who diligently seek him. Oh, beloved, let me stand before you as a living example today, that when you purpose in your heart that you're going to seek God and you're going to be determined, God's going to hear you and God's going to answer, because heaven is moved when a person in faith reacheth forth to God. Hallelujah. Your unsaved loved ones, your friends, your job, whatever the situation is, God is moved by our faith. Hallelujah. You say, just like a person the other day I was praying with over here. And I mean, they were so depressed until they had to reach up to even see whether there was a bottom. They couldn't even reach the bottom by reaching up. And when I started to talk to them and I says, what's wrong? Your faith has been destroyed. They said, oh no, I have all the faith in the world. I said, if you had faith, you wouldn't be here, honey. Amen. And sometimes we let the devil sell us a bill of goods that we have all the faith in the world. And when really the key to all of that we need from God is by faith, by faith, by faith, by faith. Let not that man who is unstable in his ways and his thinking and all, that double-minded man, let not that man think that he shall receive anything from God. It is faith. When you are fully determined, when you are fully persuaded, when you are fully convinced in your own mind that it's going to happen, and then you start acting as though it had already happened. Amen? This is what true confession is. You know, a lot of people going around trying to build up a confession. That's not confession. Confession comes when you're fully persuaded. When you're fully persuaded, hallelujah, then it's just a spontaneous thing. You go around talking about, well, my family's going to be saved and we're going to do this, and my son's going to be saved and my husband's going to be healed and my wife's going to receive the Holy Ghost. It just come out because you're so persuaded that you begin to act and you begin to talk as though it had already happened. Hallelujah. And it's nothing more than that you are fully persuaded in your heart and your soul that it's going to come to pass. Now that's what a real confession is. It's not somebody going around you trying to generate something. It's already generated. Amen. And you can't help but say it. You speak it because you're fully convinced it's going to be that way. Woo! Glory. Hallelujah. 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 And that's what you need to come to. You need to come to the place that you have so locked into what God said, you're so persuaded in your heart that you begin to talk as though your husband or your wife or your family is already saved. As a matter of fact, it ought to be one of those situations where you have to catch yourself by saying, well, honey, you know what? When we start with our family devotion in a few weeks, and he said, me, family, oh, I'm sorry, honey, I forgot to tell you that the Lord is, and I've already zeroed in on you, and you will be getting saved. Amen. You will be getting saved. Hallelujah. You know, and instead of trying to think of saying it, you know, to make sure you say something, and I'm not trying to be ugly nor critical when I say this, but I catch people a lot of times to say, I didn't mean to confess that. Well, that person not fully persuaded. That's the reason it slips out. Because from the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaketh. Oh, hallelujah. And when it's already in your spirit, you're fully persuaded. Woo! Hallelujah. Glory to God. Oh, Abraham going around, he was fully persuaded. Amen. He talked about having a son. He said, have a son? Nothing, you old buzzard. You're about dead and you're talking about having a son? He said, yeah, I said, have a son. Sarah, keep that bassinet. Don't throw it away. We've wagged that thing all the way with us, but don't turn it loose. We're going to have a kid. Isn't that right? The old boy couldn't keep from talking about his son. He had him named and everything else before he ever got here. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Now, that's what being fully persuaded means. Glory. I want you to get so fully persuaded that hell's not going to have your family that you can go on rejoicing in the Lord. And that's whenever you come to that place to where you're in agreement. You're in agreement with what the Word has said. You're in agreement with what the Spirit has said. And then you have peace. That's what it means to leave them on the altar. You know why you come down to the altar and you leave them there with a pool of tears and you pick them up when you get to the first seat there going back to your seat? That's why you're not fully persuaded. When you're fully persuaded in your heart, you speak as though it was already done, because in heaven it is. Hallelujah. Now that kind of faith moves heaven. It moves God. And I'll tell you something else that moves God. And that's love. God is love. I want you to go back to this poor little mother here. You thought I'd forgot about her, didn't you? But this old girl, the thing that held her in there was love. Love. She loved that demon-possessed daughter so much until she couldn't give up. She couldn't quit. She loved. She loved that daughter so much until actually the burden was as though it was her herself. Because she says, Oh, have mercy on me. Amen. Now, I want to talk to some of you mothers. I want you to listen to me very closely. And this can apply to everybody, not just mothers. This demon-possessed girl, that doesn't mean she was somebody sitting at home that was completely out of it. I believe she's just like a lot of kids today. She was a rebellious kid. She was vexed with a spirit. I think that she probably said things to her mother that cut her through and through. I think she did things that caused that mother many, many sleepless nights and tears and sorrow. But that mother had such a love for her that she couldn't give her up. Mother, if you won't give up, God won't. If you'll stand in the gap and make up the hedge, God will stand in there with you. Amen? And that love that God, that this mother had, was as though it was her. And she goes to the master and she says to him, Master, heal my daughter. She needs to be loosed. And you know what Jesus did? He just kept walking. Never answered her. Never said a word. Amen. Did you know I've had people to get mad at the altars because I didn't pray for them when they thought I ought to, and they turn around and walk out? As I told the early morning session, I'm glad I didn't waste my prayer on them. If that's their attitude, they won't receive anyway. Now, you can just get your little rinky-dink feelings hurt if you want to, but you're in the same canoe with them, and the thing's going to sink. Amen? Yeah, I have people get upset with me. You know, you didn't pray for me. You didn't. I came down there, and you walked by me. I had a reason for walking by you. Jesus just kept walking on, never answered, never said a word. Amen. Let me tell you something, friend. You can get desperate enough that you will hang in there though there is no answer. Amen.
And evidently she followed him around, Brother Brown, for several days and kept saying things because the disciples got embarrassed. Because it was calling attention to them. You do something with this woman. Get this girl out of our hair. They weren't concerned about her being helped. They just wanted to get rid of her. She was embarrassing them, going around saying, would you help me? Would you help me? Would you help me? Would you help me? Don't you know that you can hear Peter say, shh, shut up. Right. But she didn't care what Peter said. She wasn't there to see him anyhow. Amen? Stay with me now. And if you really fall in love with Jesus like you ought to, it won't matter whether anybody speaks to you or not, because you didn't come here to see them anyhow. Amen? Hallelujah? You come here to meet the Savior, to be blessed of God, to commune with Him. Can you imagine what this poor soul went through? But that love she had for that daughter wasn't going to let Peter turn her around. Matthew couldn't stop her. James wasn't going to stop her. Nobody was going to stop her. And if they thought they'd been embarrassed before this, they really got to work whenever they said Jesus in her way. Jesus then spoke up. He says, "Don't you know that I'm only sent to the lost sheep of the house of Israel?" And then that poor critter runs up and falls down in front of him and starts worshiping him. Right? Isn't that what the Bible says? Runs up and begins to worship the Savior. You know why? She was persuaded that he was the key, and she had enough love that she wasn't turning back. Amen? Discouragement was not going to be her downfall. She hung in there. And she went up and says, "Lord, help me." And Jesus said to her, and this is the literal translation of it, it's not what's in your Bible. Well, what he literally said to her was, "Don't you know that the dogs are not supposed to be fed until all the children are full?" Amen. Hallelujah. "Don't you know that the dogs, the Gentiles, don't you know?" See, this old girl was violating every rule in the book. Her being a Gentile wasn't even supposed to be talking to a Jew anyhow. Right? But she pressed right on in there. She said, "This man has the answer. My daughter needs help. I'm not going to let the devil have my baby. I'm not going to sacrifice my baby to the devil." You know what? Jesus still couldn't hurt her feelings. Amen? You say, "But Brother Garman, those were different times." No, she was just desperate enough. And honey, you can get desperate enough that you'll take your little feelings off of your shoulder too. Amen? Hallelujah? And that your own little stinking feelings robbed you of more spiritual blessing than the devil ever thought about robbing you of. Just because that you can't get your little way. Your husband didn't do what you thought he ought to, so bless God, you go to church and sit there and pout, just spite him. But beloved, this old girl knew, if I let him get away, there's no one else can help my baby. And I'm not going home till I get an audience with him. I may have to walk over Peter. I may have to crawl on my knees. I may have to go through all kind of hell. But I'm going to get his attention before I go home. Amen. Amen. And that old girl come right back up. You couldn't hurt her. She says, "Truth, Lord." In other words, you're speaking the truth. I know I'm a dog. But Master, the dogs can have the leftovers, so I'll just take my place and stand here till you feed all the children. And when they're all filled, then I want you to heal my daughter. Oh, Jesus couldn't take it anymore. Jesus moved with compassion, turned and spoke to her. "Little old woman, great is thy faith. Go your way. Your daughter is healed." Hallelujah. She turned around and she made a beeline for her home. And when she arrived at home, she found her daughter clothed and in her right mind. She was healed. She had come forth out of that demonic depression and that demonic state, and she was beautifully healed and delivered. And she said, "What time did it happen?" And they checked the time. She said, That's when he told me. She didn't go home till she got an audience with the Master. Amen. Now, if she'd have been like a lot of people, hallelujah, and I don't mean this to be unkind, but beloved, I'm going to tell you something. Heaven's cheap at any price. And you may think your pastor's a little bit rude this morning when I say this to you, but I pray God draw you to him and save your family. Matters not the price. God help us to get under a burden enough for our loved ones that little petty criticisms from people won't stop us. Amen. That simply because we don't get an answer the first time we pray. Someone came in my office the other day and said, you know what? I don't know that I want to serve God. I said, why? Well, I prayed and God didn't answer me. I said, how you know he didn't answer? Well, it didn't happen. I said, how you know what you asked for was best for you? Maybe he was answering all the time. Said, well, I asked you for a specific thing. I said, well, from your life and from the mess it's in, it's a pretty good indication that what you've wanted before wasn't so good for you. Right? Come on, I know I stunned some of you there, didn't I? Some of you think you've got all the answers, but if you had all the answers, honey, you wouldn't be as fouled up as you are. Amen? Your home wouldn't be at the verge of divorce. Your kids wouldn't be in the turmoil they're in. There's a lot of things that wouldn't be taking place if you had all the answers. And God's not going to answer you every time like you want him to. Amen. Hallelujah. And how many of you believe that you can spoil a kid by giving him everything that he wants every time he whimpers? Well, the rest of you hadn't raised kids. But I got news for you, friend. God's not going to strip a gear every time you whimper to come get to you. But he's going to see whether you're going to appreciate it or not after you get it. You haven't appreciated life before, you'd have been serving him a long time ago. You follow that? Amen? Listen, God can be moved by any person in this building. I don't care who you are. I can walk up to any one of you, and you can move heaven, and you can challenge hell. You can do it, Kelly. Little woman, you can make hell shake like it's having a nervous breakdown just through faith and love. The devil can't take your baby. The devil can't take your home if you'll latch in there and pray and in faith believe. You say, oh, Brother Gorman, you don't know where my family is. My friend, this woman's baby was locked in by demon powers. This woman's baby was a girl demon possessed. She couldn't even get the girl to the church where she was. She couldn't get the child to even go with her to see Jesus. I believe the kid was a rebellious little brute, just like a lot of them we got today. And at times she'd have these tantrums, and very likely she was on something. And at times she would go totally berserk, and she'd be out of it, so to speak. But I think she's just a rebellious kid. And some of you say, oh, but Brother Gorman, you don't know. Oh, my situation is so bad. They won't even come to church. It doesn't matter whether they come to church or not right now. God knows where they are, and he can go where they are, because there's no distance with Almighty God. Oh, hallelujah. 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 If the only devil I could take authority over was one that's inside these four walls, I'd be limited. Come on. Don't underestimate the power you have with Almighty God. Amen. But the key is love and faith. Love and faith. Amen. Amen. Randy's 23 years of age. He's never heard me say, I'd go quit. Have you, son? Never heard that. Never heard me say that I was discouraged. He's never heard me say that. He's seen some times that I may not have been happy as others. Never heard that. He's never seen the day that I said I'm not going to church. Never. He's never seen the time that I let people or things keep me out of church. He said, oh, but you're the pastor, but I haven't always been a pastor. Amen? I'm going to tell you something, mother. You're going to make up your little mind, honey. What's more important in this life? A clean house and a beautiful yard? Or time with your kids? And I don't believe in keeping a hog pen for your husband to come home to. But you can still keep a nice home and spend time with your kids and love them and show them that you love them. Amen? And a lot of kids, all they are looking for is to see somebody who loves them. Who loves them, who loves them, who loves them, who loves them. Amen. Amen. God wants you to love your children. It does me good when I see parents taking time with their kids. Hallelujah. And in this city that we live in, if you don't take time with your children, you're going to lose them. You hear your pastor, you're going to lose them. I know some of your kids can't drive yet. You need to drive them across town to the coffee house. But you better get on out there and drive them across town and then go back home and sit there yourself and wait till they call back for you to go get them and go pick them up. If you don't, they'll soon be old enough they can go on their own and they won't go to the coffee house. Amen. Hallelujah. My wife said the other day, she said, oh, honey, I can't get anything done. Said, I've gone 5 times today, said, I've gone to the church. 3 of them was for our daughter. I said, but don't complain about it. Was that what I said, honey? Don't complain about it. Right? Because my kids are more important than a hot supper. You hear me? Amen. And I did the same thing with the boys. They need to go to ball practice, we got them there. They need to be somewhere else, we got them there. You say, oh, but Brother Gorman, you had the time. Baloney. I'd like for some of you to stay up with me just 1 week. You'd have to put you in a hospital on the next one. You couldn't take it. And I'm not teasing or joking. Amen. Oh, beloved, it's time we put priorities on things that are most valuable to us. This mother didn't care about cooking. She didn't care what people thought. She didn't care what people said. She says, my daughter's got a need, and that's first in my life, and I'm not going to stop till my daughter is helped. That's what you need to do as a mom and a dad, is get under the burden. Get under the burden for your children. Get under the burden for your children. Amen? And let them know, and let heaven know, and serve notice on the devil. That's right, you heard me. Serve notice on the devil. Devil, before you can get to my kid, you got to get by me. And I'm full of the Holy Ghost and covered in the blood, buddy. Amen? The Bible says you can stand in the gap and make up the hedge. And I believe that. I don't think you got to surrender your kids to hell. I don't. I don't think you got to surrender your homes to hell. Some of you, your marriage may be shaky, but it can be salvaged. Just get right in there and pray and believe God and press in and don't let people, quit listening to what people are saying. Man, there's too many blabbermouths in the world. They got their mouth in gear when their brain's in neutral. They don't know what they're saying, and they're talking, and they're discouraging people, and they're driving them down, and they're defeating them. And what you need to do is listen to what the Bible says. The Bible says all things are possible to him that believeth. Hallelujah. The Bible says that he'll not turn a deaf ear to our cry. The Bible teaches us that if we walk uprightly before him, he will withhold no good thing from us. The Bible says he'll save you and your household. I believe that. I believe that. I believe that. Amen. Hallelujah. I'm going to do something today I've never done before, but the Holy Spirit's telling me to do this. Telling me to do this. And I've got to do it. I don't ever remember doing this. I don't think I have. But mama, you can't reach your child if there's bitterness in your heart toward your child. You just can't reach them. Just can't reach them. Just can't reach them. Amen. Amen. You just can't touch them. If there's bitterness in your heart, you can't touch them. I want you to go to the instruments. Randy, I want you to get ready to sing. But I want to talk to you, mama. Let me tell you something. Daddy, ain't no need to talk to your child unless you love them. There's no need. No need. They can sense when you love them, when you don't. Amen? I walked in and put my arms around my boy's neck, and last year, hot tears coursed down my cheeks and say, boys, you're breaking daddy's heart. I've been noticing the last few weeks you're not praying as much as you ought to. You're not reaching out to God as much as you ought to. And that kills daddy. Now just go on. They know that's coming from my heart. They know my life. It's an open book before them. I'm not one thing at church and something else at home. You say, I can't do that. You can if you made up your mind. You can if you love your family enough. You're not going to go at home and have a cussing fit in front of your kids if you really love them. You're not going to let those little ears hear all that filth and vulgarity. Amen. I've had them time and time again come back in a few days and put an arm around me and say, Daddy, I want to thank you that you're so concerned about us. I really thought about what you said, and I want you to know, Daddy, that I'm going to do something about it. It wasn't a long sermon I preached to them. It was that love. There's no substitute for it. Love challenges hell. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. You know what I envision love as? Is when every demon in hell has been unleashed. Can you see me in the balcony? When every demon in hell has been unleashed, and it seemed like it's coming against your kid, and you just stand right up astraddle of them and say, I dare you to touch them. I dare you to touch them. I'll fight you as long as there's breath in my body, devil, but you're not held my kid. You're not held my kid. You're not held them. I claim them in the name of Jesus. I claim them in the name of Jesus.